This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Welcome to Spice Bags, where three opinionated ladies, Blanca, May and me, Dee, have a dish about food in Ireland from an international perspective. Hi, welcome to Spice Bags. For those of you who may not know us or our podcast comes in three distinct types of episodes, delectable flavors, if you will. We have deep dives, that comprehensive explorations into a country's cuisine. We have staple chats where we dish about a topic amongst ourselves. And we also do in conversations with individuals who have been impactful on the international Irish scene here. So we ask you to tune in and pick a flavour. We hope that you like more than one. We're also very proud to be part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network. It's Ireland's largest podcast network. There's not just food podcasts on here. You'll find film, politics, gossip, lots of different types of podcasts. You can become a Head Stuff Plus member on the website headstuffpodcast.com. What that means is just by being a member, you are supporting us and the other podcasts by paying €5 a month, and you get access to all of the shows, bonus materials, and as I said, you are supporting all of us and us ourselves. So please do become a member. It's well worth it. Today we are doing one of the In Conversations With, and I'm delighted to be joined here by May and Blanca. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
And we are also joined by Aziz Crouch. Hi, Aziz.
Hi, everybody.
Aziz is the head chef of Marrakesh by Mindo in Dublin's Capel Street, and we will be getting to that in just a minute. But first of all, I think I just wanted to, before we get on to our main topic as such,
our entree.
We just wanted to ask Blanca, because she's been away on holidays, which we've been very jealous of, in Paris. Blanca, tell us a little bit about France. How is everything over there?
Paris is just fascinating. I was a student here and I worked here for a couple of years. So it's changed a lot. You can imagine how old I am now. But Paris is just such a fantastic multicultural place where it's like a Euro Disney for food these days. You can have so many different foods from Moroccan to Japanese. And I think that wasn't as accessible in the past.
Yeah.
But it's been a really wonderful experience.
I haven't been to Paris for
I especially love, there's a street that has just Japanese restaurants. May, I thought of you.
Thank you.
It was amazing. There were queues everywhere though. So not that easy to get into all these amazing Japanese restaurants. And some of them have Michelin stars. Really fascinating street that I didn't know before.
Oh, it's so nice just to be able to get away now as well. We also wanted to congratulate our friend and former guest on Spice Bags, Lily Ramirez Foran. Lily just published her first cookbook called Tacos with Blasta Books. Congratulations, Lily.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful book. And I think we all urge everyone to buy a copy.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah. And I mean, it's Ireland's first Mexican cookbook. So it's a real landmark kind of moment, I suppose. But also
Nigella Lawson
is a fan. I mean, absolutely. And also, who doesn't love tacos? So yeah. No, it's absolutely beautiful. Also, Kristen Jensen, congratulations to her. She's the publisher of Blasta Books and the founder and creator of the idea. And there's a collection of Blasta Books, so that's the first one. So if you want to check it out, there'll be three more this year, one every quarter, and they're all themed. So yeah, but congratulations, Lily. We're absolutely delighted for you. So yeah.
Felicidades, Lily.
Blanca, I think we're going to start by going to you about your connection with Morocco. I know that you've always been kind of fascinated with it. Isn't that right? Because you have a kind of family connection as such.
Well, my parents were always big lovers of Morocco, and there's a big relationship between Morocco and Spain.
Yes.
And Moroccans are the largest immigrant population in Spain. So in the last 20 years, you can see how they've touched so much of Spain, especially the city my family's from, Granada, where, as you know, there's a very famous Moorish palace. There's so many streets where you can have mint tea and you can have Moroccan food all over the city. And then a lot of the pastry shops, of the Spanish pastry shops, copy a lot of the Moroccan traditional baked goods. For example, they do a pastela, but instead of doing it with warka, they do it with puff pastry. And my parents, their first big overseas trip was in Morocco for their honeymoon. So they brought so many things back. And this is a word of advice to anybody going to Morocco: bring a big suitcase.
I've actually heard that. Yeah, I've heard that. It's all about the shopping in Morocco, isn't it? As in the markets. And
I think also, Blanca, you and I were talking about how Morocco for us was always just this pinnacle of luxury when we were growing up. And it's just luxurious. And and we're going to talk to Chef Aziz, but who was chef at La Mamounia. And this is a really ditzy girl thing, but I just finished watching the Netflix show Inventing Anna. And
there's a
segment with La Mamounia. And it's where if you need to scam $64,000, it's one of the most beautiful places to do it.
It's La Mamounia is one of the best palaces in the world.
Wow.
Yeah. And there is different restaurants inside La Mamounia. Like there is French specialty. And I was working in Moroccan restaurant in La Mamounia. That's I started in La Mamounia. And now we're talking about the shopping in Morocco. In every city in Morocco, we find the souk. Souk is it's the market.
Yeah.
And inside market, first thing what we see in the market is spices in the color.
Yeah.
That's
like kind of piles of spices.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's amazing.
Exactly. And we find as well like the traditional like the clothes traditional,
yeah,
like kaftans, and that's why when the people go to Marrakech or Casablanca or Tangier, Agadir, Fas, try to buy like souvenir from Morocco.
Blanca's shared this beautiful photograph of her mum, didn't you, Blanca? And she had a gorgeous bag from Morocco, you were saying, and she had she bought lots of bags there as well?
Yeah, she was very avant-garde with her. She brought everything, like a tea set, cushions, because you can obviously drive very easily from the south of Spain. Just one last thing, because I'm going to have to go, that I wanted to talk about with Morocco is just, you know, obviously we're very lucky in Ireland to have a sis, but there's so many very famous, very forward-thinking chefs. When I worked in Alambique, we had Moha Fedal. We had Halima Murid, who is a female chef who is a fantastic, and I learned so many tricks from her in her classes. But there's also, look them up, there's so many women female chefs in Morocco now that have restaurants in Mexico, who have worked in Noma. It's a fascinating chef culture, and we'll post some of these links for you on our show notes. But
yeah,
do look up Moroccan chefs, especially female ones. And there's a woman who is half Spanish, and her name is Najat Kanache. Maybe I'm not pronouncing it well, but she's a multilingual, multicultural chef, and she speaks beautifully, and she's very open about what she thinks about the world of chefs and women. I really, really admire her. I'd love to meet her. And she's traveled all over the world. So she's called Najat Kanache. But anyway, that was my contribution.
And now it's my pleasure to introduce our special guest of the day, Aziz Crouch, who is head chef of Marrakesh by Mindo on Capel Street. Previous to that, Aziz was chef at La Mamounia in Marrakesh. Aziz is originally from Marrakesh. You also did your chef owner at Medina?
Medina restaurant in
New York City?
Yeah.
And were you also in Paris for a while?
I was in Paris, and I was chef in Lille. It's Le Maroc restaurant in Lille, in Pas-de-Calais, is in France. In north of...
Amazing.
Yeah.
So we are extremely honored, yes, as Dublin to have Aziz and
thank
all
so
of his
much.
International sort of, you know, his gorgeous cooking and, you know, and his international flair with us.
So Aziz, tell us a little bit, if we start to go back to the beginning as such, but tell us a little bit about your childhood in Marrakesh, growing up.
Yeah, I grew up in Marrakesh. It's not in the city, it's outside Marrakesh, because in Marrakesh there is... south of Marrakesh is the Atlas Mountain. It's around 20 kilometers from Marrakesh. Small farm. Grandma, we in Morocco, we live with the family. Grandma, grandpa, father, mother, uncles. Mm-hmm. It's a big house. We live together. And the chef of the family is grandma.
Yeah.
That's and the old grandmas try to keep the touch of the traditional things. Like the food, you find, we have farm, for the veg and everything is in on farm.
Yeah.
And some spices as well in the farm, like cumin. I remember grandma, the cumin what we use in the kitchen is from our
the
farm.
Garden.
Yeah, the garden. That's... and from when I'm small, I try all time. I don't know any food, just Moroccan food.
Yeah.
That's because I live with grandma and I know how to. And I have the souvenir of grandma, how to make the couscous, how to make the... Now couscous, we buy like the couscous. But before, she make the couscous from A to Z.
Yeah.
Like everything at home.
Yeah.
That's it.
Would you have a favorite dish of your grandmother's?
In Morocco, every city has different dishes. Because I'm from Marrakesh, I know the original dishes from Marrakesh is not tagine, it's tangia.
Okay.
Marrakesh tangia. The name is Marrakesh tangia, is the name of the city. The tangia, it's cooked for more than 12 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, is in the special dish. We close this dish and we put it in the fire, small fire, for 12 hours.
So is it a clay dish?
It's traditional dish. And how to make the tangia? We made it with simple ingredient.
Okay.
Lemon confit, cumin, salt, and special butter, like I don't know, it's special, and meat. We make tangia with beef meat,
mm-hmm,
or lamb, any meat you like.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious.
And with the lemon confit.
With lemon confit, it's lovely, and it's soft. And in Morocco, we eat with the hand.
Yeah.
We don't use the...
Yes.
Yeah.
Knives and forks and things.
No, we don't
use
knife and fork in Morocco. There is another tank in Morocco, just because we're talking about Morocco.
Yeah.
I need to explain everything about Morocco. If we're talking about the time, the time, and we like every time, every day, we have different dish in Morocco, and we talk about the time out and about the places.
Okay.
The time, like every Friday in Morocco, it's couscous day in all Morocco.
Wow.
Yeah, every Friday.
Is there a reason for that? Is it linked with religion, or is it just because it just became that?
No, it's become that. Yeah. There is the no. It's become like that because the family, like Friday, we meet together and we need to meet, and couscous. He tried to meet the family. We put the big
because it's a big sharing dish.
And we share. It's all the families there.
Yeah,
that's couscous must be in the table in Morocco every Friday.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I'd be happy with that.
That's the time. The place, every place has different dishes. Like now we're talking about Marrakech Tangier. If we talking about soup. Harira, there is Harira Marrakechia, Harira of Marrakesh, Harira Arbatia.
Aziz, can you just explain for some of our listeners what Harira is? And then just for those of them who might not be familiar with Harira, and then explain the regional differences. That would be great.
With Harira?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Harira is... Harira... I back to the time.
Yeah.
The time... Ramadan, you know something about Ramadan?
Yeah.
It's fasting days. Just, in the when we fast full day, when one starts eat, we start with Harira.
Okay.
Why Harira? Because it's rich.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because it's very rich with the. There is everything in Harira. It's one of the soup, like.
So it's a soup?
A soup. It's made. There is. I keep cooking traditional thing, and it's soup of my grandma. I still cook soup of my grandma in Marrakesh restaurant.
Oh, that's nice.
I put around 16 ingredients in it.
16?
Yeah.
16 ingredients
16
in your
house. Or more sometimes.
Wow.
There is dry like lentils and beans. There is chickpeas, lot of things in Harira. There is spices, there is coriander, parsley, celery, everything in Harira. And in Ramadan...
Is it a vegetable dish or is there meat in it?
There is meat one and there is vegetable one.
Okay, yeah, different versions.
Yeah. No, in Marrakesh we use the vegetable, the vegetarian. And wife... We use it in Ramadan because we fast full day. We need something
really substantial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Harira, we have a lot of different of Harira. It's same Harira, but there is one tank make like I'm going to explain. There is Harira Marrakechia is from Marrakesh. There is Arbatia from Rabat and there is Fasia from Fes.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the difference? It's same Harira, just in Marrakesh, we don't put egg in it. In Rabat, we put egg.
Oh, okay.
So slight differences.
Small tank different, and they make a changed name. And there is another soup.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Shorba.
Shorba.
Shorba Fasia. That's for Fes. That's its Fes one.
It's only, okay, so.
Only in Fes.
Only in Fes. And so would Fes also have its version of Harira, or is this other soup? Just in Fez, instead of Harira?
No, there is Harira and there is Shorba in Fez.
Okay.
Just
Harira and Shorba.
Yeah.
Okay.
In every house in Morocco, we can eat Harira. But when we give it to customer, to the people, we say, today we make Shorba Fasia. We keep the name.
So
it's a different name. All right. Are there any other dishes that, you know, can you maybe talk a little bit more about sort of these different regions? Because I think that, understanding, right? So like you have Fez, you have Marrakesh, you have Tangier, like the different regions, different regional differences in these foods. And can you maybe give some dishes as examples of that?
We have like pastilla.
Mm-hmm.
Pastilla, it's originally from Spain. You know, before Moroccan people live in Andalus, when the people back to Morocco, he bring some dishes. What he bring? Paella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paella. But in Morocco, we don't have rice.
Yeah.
At the moment, we don't have rice. How to make paella without rice? Try to stuff it inside the filo pastry. And it's originally from Fez. Because now we talk about the...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's originally from Fez. The Fez, because when the people... The Fez in the same was the capital of Morocco.
And,
and the Fez is one of all the city in the world. We find the oldest university in the world in Fez.
Okay.
Okay.
Everything comes to Fez.
Okay.
Fez is the, like, the capital of the food of Morocco is where.
Okay.
So, again, for listeners who don't maybe understand what a bastilla is, I mean, you've made me, Chef Aziz, a beautiful bastilla. So it's, you know, it's traditionally, again, a family food. It's a very celebratory food. And it has, you know, and it can contain anything from usually quail. Isn't it quail or pigeon traditionally? And then it's also these layers of pastry and it's dusted with cinnamon and sugar.
Yeah, no, that's the when the people bring the tanks from Spain and start to make pastilla.
Yeah.
The people start to make other pastillas.
Okay.
Okay.
There is fish one, because we talk about the paella. Now there is chicken pastilla or pigeon pastilla.
Yeah.
It's fish. No, the chicken and the pigeon, it's made with honey and almond, cinnamon. It's the fish one. It's spicy and salted, but other one is sweet.
Yeah.
With the flavor of cinnamon.
And a bastilla, to describe it, is a pastry.
It's a big pie.
It's a big pie stuffed inside.
Yeah.
Just
to visualize it for our listeners.
Yeah, to make pastilla, you need like around 6 or 7 hours to make one big pastilla.
Wow.
Yes. You cook in small fire, the spices, you leave it to, after you finish the cook in the oven.
Yeah.
It's delicious pastilla. And now we start to make, we have as well the vegetarian pastilla.
Mm-hmm.
The vegetarian one, it's stuffed with veg, same, but it's... Flavor as well is good.
It's interesting. Sorry.
I was just going to say my first introduction to Moroccan food, I think I had tagine, which would be, I think it was like a lamb tagine. But is that just the way it's what it's cooked in, or is that a dish that's specifically for a certain region?
Is the dish, and the tagine is the one of the main. We find it all time in the lunch.
Yeah.
And tagine, the people know just tagine with lamb and the barcock and the prawn.
Yeah.
But no, in Morocco we have lot of tagines.
A lot.
We have tagine with lamb and veg,
mm-hmm.
beef and lemon confit and green peas.
Yes.
We have. Pigeon tagine,
yes.
We have kale tagine, all different tagine. It's the plates and how to cook. The tagine is cooked in small fire as well. We put it and in cooked, and it's cooked in the tagine plate. It's cooked in the plate tagine.
What would be some of your favorite dishes? I mean, I know we've been just talking about food and I'm getting hungry already. What would be some of your favorite dishes?
If we talk about Moroccan dishes, I'm going to see makful tagine.
Okay.
Okay.
After I'm going to explain to you what makful tagine
is.
If we talk about the international food, I'm going to see the beef bourguignon. It's French beef bourguignon.
I love a beef bourguignon. Yeah.
Makful tagine. Makful tagine, it's made with lamb, small lamb, soft lamb, onion,
mm-hmm.
tomato, cinnamon, and little bit honey on the top. And seven spices, seven spices, Ras El Hanout.
Yeah.
That's all. And it is delish. And we put a little bit of sultanas in the top. Mm. Just more sultanas.
I love the addition of fruit in Moroccan food. Again, it's not something that's common in Ireland. No. So
we mix fruit and
it's really beautiful
dry
to have. Yeah,
dry fruit with.
There
is in Ireland as well. We find the apple.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
We find apple. Yeah. But in Morocco, we find a lot of, we find prawns, we find figs, we find dry fruit, everything we find. It's mixed.
And do you, is there, with the dried fruit, is there, do you pair, is there pairings with certain things? Like, so would you say, like, with lamb, you would pair it with a certain dried fruit or like a prune or, you know.
Something that complements it.
Is there, is it like chicken? Do you have sort of rules?
We need to prepare the fruit before.
Yes.
But is there, I think as May is saying, is there certain fruit that you always put with chicken, that you always put with lamb, that you always put with?
Every meat has special fruit.
Yeah.
Lamb with the prawns. We can't put chicken with the prawns.
Okay.
Never.
And what do you put chicken with?
Chicken with lemon confit.
Okay.
I love lemon confit. Oh my God.
Chicken with lemon confit and lemon sauce. Lemon sauce and lemon confit.
Yeah. And I've had, is it apricots with lamb?
Apricot with beef.
Beef. Yeah. I knew it was a red meat.
Apricot or figs.
Figs.
Yeah. Oh.
Yum.
We don't buy figs and we put it straight to, we cook prawns or figs in special way after when it's soft and spices and that's we put it in the
so you cook it separately with spices and things like that and then we add it to the meat
exactly we can't cook it with the meat it's gonna be like meat with the sauce, the fruit with the sauce. After when it's ready, we mix and we give to the
people. And this is, Dee and I are huge fans of your restaurant.
Yes.
I know Dee spent many evenings and I had my wedding rehearsal dinner at your restaurant.
My evenings are slightly different.
What would be some of the favorite dishes that you make at Marrakesh by Mindo?
I think for Irish people, a little bit strange, but we make the people, before when I start to make the dishes, that special dishes I'm gonna the people I fried, I see the people gonna say no, I can't take this. It's tongue, listen.
Tongue,
the lamb tongue dish. I've had that dish. Oh my God, it is so good.
Lamb tongue, and I fried before, but the people love it. Everybody
they
comes
do
special
because
for,
that's what I was actually gonna ask you about Marrakesh by Mindo. Is that, did you find when you came after working in all these amazing places in New York and France, and then you came to Ireland, did you find that Irish people were because we're still such a journey with our food here and, you know, exploring different flavors. Did you find you had to, you know, make plainer dishes or change your dishes or menu for the Irish palate?
No, Irish people love to try different things.
That's great to hear.
Irish people love all time to try. Like when I talk now about the lisan tagine, I make lisan tagine in New York, and the people love it. I make lisan tagine in France, the people love it. I try in Ireland, the people love it.
And that's the lamb tongue
and,
dish.
I try another things in Ireland. It's rabbit.
Rabbit.
I had the rabbit as well. Because I'm one of these people who always orders
that. And also, Chef Aziz does, your rabbit bastia is to die for.
the rabbit, now there is no rabbit in the market. And some people come to Marrakesh. There is one customer last week, he bought the rabbit and he came, can you cook for me your rabbit?
He brought the rabbit in?
Prepared,
yeah.
Yeah, can you please, because I know you don't have rabbit. I find rabbit there, like, can you cook? I see, gonna take for me long time. But okay, welcome and I'm gonna cook it for you, it's no problem.
Amazing.
That you see, like, now we talk about the Irish love to try different things. Definitely.
And you mentioned, May, the bastilla. Maybe we could talk about this dish,
The Bastille. Yeah, we've been talking about the Bastille before, you know, which is the big pie.
Yeah.
But yes, and I remember I've had this version with, that Chef Aziz does with rabbit.
Yeah.
And, you know, instead of chicken, and because you don't usually do the chicken, you do it with rabbit, right? And that's your sort of signature, that's one of your signature dishes at Marrakesh by Mindo. And it's how do you make that rabbit to put into the pastry?
The rabbit is a little bit hard because there is more bone. We need to check off all, because in the past year we put just meat.
Mm-hmm.
We don't put bone. When we cook the rabbit, we leave it like 2 hours after we try to take just off. We take off the bone.
Mm-hmm.
It take for us a long time. After we mix it with nuts,
okay,
sultana, spice,
harissa,
and honey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's 4 tanks. It's the base of the rabbit pastilla.
And then also, and then this last thing about Bastille, is that I understand that you can make will occasionally make your own vodka pastry. Is that correct? And you said that your grandmother was a worka master. Can you describe worka pastry?
Yeah, because we try to make the pastilla. We find the pastry there. We try to make the pastilla, but it's not like, I didn't find, like, it's not original.
Yeah.
I want to make something original. That's why I start to make my own filo pastry in Marrakesh. Yeah. I make the dough, I make everything, and I start to...
But I think with worka, did you mention that it's cooked? It's actually cooked.
I turned the pot.
So
you turned the pot, and I cook it in the back of the pot.
Yeah. So yeah, you brush. You almost like you're brushing the pastry at the back of a hot pot.
And we take off the.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's
another dish I loved in Marrakesh. I just looked up here. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. The zalouk.
Zalouk.
Yeah.
Zalouk.
So it's on as a starter, and it's described here as an aubergine compote.
It's zalouk. Everybody, like in Morocco, we find in the table all times zalouk salad.
It's beautiful. Can you describe it a bit for
zalouk me? Salad? It's aubergine. We cook the ingredient what we put. There is aubergine, garlic, tomato, onion, and 7 spices.
Mm-hmm.
And after when we finish, we top it with, it's cooked in olive oil.
Yeah.
In olive oil, not in normal oil.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely in olive oil. We cook the onion first.
Mm-hmm.
When the onion is soft, we can't feel anymore the onion. We add aubergine and we leave to cook as well. To cook when the aubergine is soft as well, like that, we add tomato, garlic, and spices, coriander. All time we have coriander and parsley.
Okay. Yeah,
we need to put these two flavors in.
Yeah, in everything.
Yeah, everything.
I think I love it as well because I often find I love dishes like that with aubergine, but I'm really bad at doing aubergine at home. So when I get the opportunity,
you're welcome to the kitchen one day.
I would love to. But yeah, no, it's absolutely beautiful. The other thing as I was saying earlier, when you were talking about your wedding rehearsal dinner in Marrakesh by Mindo, I myself and my friends frequent the karaoke hubs, shall we call them, rooms underneath. So if anyone doesn't know, the restaurant on Capel Street has karaoke booths in the basement. So you can go in and have your dinner and then you can go down and have a sing song together. And it is lots of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's some of the most gorgeous food that you're going to get in Dublin, plus karaoke, plus beautiful cocktails.
Yes.
And Aziz. So
this is it.
There's really.
And there is an important thing in Moroccan is the hubs.
The hubs.
Hubs.
Oh, yeah.
Hubs is Moroccan bread.
And
we have
bread
in Marrakesh, Moroccan bread.
Yeah.
It's different.
And you make that.
We make it. In
you make it fresh.
Yeah.
Can you describe?
It's a little bit different. We add a few tank, like Moroccan one, it's plain. But what we make in Ireland, we add black olives and sun-dried tomato in the hubs.
Yeah.
And the people love hopes too much. Like we serve it all time with the tagine. We try to show to the people to eat with hands.
With the hands.
Yeah.
Do people do that?
Yeah. In Marrakesh, the people, there is lots of people.
But in Ireland, in the restaurant, if you say to people, do you kind of go, you should eat it with your hands, just, you know, try it. Would they do it? Or
No, some Irish do. It's like, it's new experience.
Yeah.
I come to a Moroccan restaurant. I need to try to eat in Moroccan way because it's Moroccan food. Its atmosphere is Morocco. There is some people do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm going to just take a minute in the middle of our lovely podcast episode today to talk to you about the podcast studios. The podcast studios are located in Dublin City Centre. They're kind of a one-stop shop for all things audio. They have three state-of-the-art studios and they provide everything you need for podcasts and voiceover work. If you have audiobook recordings or anything else like that, they're all set up for video recording as well, live streaming and green screen filming too. Work with individuals and organizations, whether you're large or small. And they basically help you to tell your story in a professional, engaging way. So whether you need studio time, editing work, equipment rental, or marketing support, they can tailor a package to suit your needs. So that's the Podcast Studios here in Dublin City Centre.
The Podcast Studios is the home of the Headstuff Podcast Network. It's where lots of our shows are recorded, and we work on editing, promotion, videos, live shows, and lots more. As a podcast production company with three state-of-the-art studios for audio and video in Dublin City Centre, we can work with you to tell great stories in a professional and engaging way. From government organisations to charities, arts groups to international brands, entrepreneurs to hobbyists, we've worked with everybody and we can help you to get the word out. Whether you need studio time, you're hosting a live stream or webinar, or you need support with editing or marketing, we can tailor a package for you. For more info, head to thepodcaststudios.ie.
So something that always fascinates us is this idea of breakfast, lunch, and dinner, because I think we think that, you know, that helps define sort of food culture. Can you take us through sort of what is Moroccan breakfast, what is Moroccan lunch, what is Moroccan dinner, the rituals and the foods that are traditionally served?
Yeah. We talk about the day from the morning to the evening. We find full day, we find Moroccan tea. In the morning, in the lunch, in the dinner, we have Moroccan tea. For breakfast, we serve breakfast with msemen. It's kind of Moroccan soft bread. And bagrir, we find honey, olive oil, olives, and tea.
Very simple.
Very simple.
Okay.
Yeah. For the lunch, we tagine or couscous. Tagine or couscous must be in the lunch, because it depends on the day. If it's Friday, we find couscous. If it's other day, we find small tagine. And every day we have different tagine. Today, meat with veg, or they meat with fruit. That's what we find. In dinner, we find it's different to the cities or the I'm gonna talk about Marrakesh because I'm from Marrakesh. We have lentils or small tank like salouk, it's small tank in the dinner.
So lunch, the midday meal,
is the biggest. Yeah.
Okay. And what about festive? You talked a little bit about Ramadan. What about sort of festive dishes?
The table of Ramadan is one of the rich tables. We find harira, we find breakfast, thanks, barir, and we find Moroccan pastry.
Okay.
Moroccan pastry, we find kablozal. Kablozal is one of the best pastry we need to try. Kablozal.
What is it exactly?
Can you please describe it?
It's almond. Like, it? It's almond dough.
Yeah,
almond inside dough. The filo pastry.
Filo pastry,
with the flavor of orange balsam.
Oh, yeah.
It's Cabo Rosal is if you talk about Moroccan pastry, top one is Cabo Rosal, and we have
my mouth is literally watering right now.
And we have other pastries like shabakia in Ramadan. It's honey. It's pastry with honey because we fast in full day. We need something sweet to That's what we find.
So is it honey pastry then?
It's shabakia. Shabakia in Moroccan, it's something like
woven together.
It's something all together, but it's the we dip it in honey.
Is it like the and I'm pronouncing it wrong, but it's almost the shredded. Is it like shredded pastry?
It's different.
Okay.
It's different.
I'm picturing some of the Turkish pastries in my head when you're describing different ones, like with the honey and the phyllo and different
it's
things.
It's something like Turkish, but it's different.
Yeah.
Totally different. It's special Moroccan dishes. Moroccan pastry.
We will post a photograph on our Instagram so that people can see and picture it. But it sounds amazing. And if we can... Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, we'll definitely post a photograph of that, guys. We're getting a photograph here.
So that is...
We'll definitely have to post a photograph so you guys can see. So, and then I feel like we can't speak about Moroccan food without talking about spice. I feel like it's integral for Moroccan food. And because that's the one of the things I love about Moroccan food is the layers and depths of all these flavors. And that seems like the spices are such an important part.
When we talk about Moroccan food, the people think it's spicy. It's not spicy.
No, there not is hot.
Spice.
But
it's not hot, but spice. There is a lot of spices.
Yeah, exactly.
There is a lot of spices. And there is... The main spice is Ras el Hanout.
Okay. Yes.
Ras el Hanout is seven spice. It's number seven in Morocco. It's I don't know that it's we respect number seven.
So it's a lucky. It's a lucky number. It's lucky. Oh, so seven spices for
like,
Ras.
So I'm gonna talk about couscous, and I back to the why could we find couscous with seven veg.
Okay.
Seven veg.
So seven.
We can
have
put
a lot of
eight.
Things.
Seven veg. Seven and vegetables. We have spices, Ras el Hanout, seven spices, not six, not eight.
And does it vary? Can you get, would different families have their own version of Ras el Hanout, or is it always the same seven spices?
Always the same.
Yeah.
Always the same. But we don't put salt. Salt, no.
No salt. Okay.
No salt. We put just, and there is like, now the people start to add saffron.
Okay.
But there is already saffron.
So what are the seven, would you mind saying the seven spices in Ras el Hanout?
There is...
this isn't a test.
some spices, I don't know the name in English.
Okay.
That's the...
You can say them in the language, it's fine.
There is a knot, you know, the knot, I don't know...
Nuts.
Nutmeg.
Nutmeg. There is cumin, pepper,
mm-hmm.
and there is star.
Star anise.
Star anise, and saffron.
Mm-hmm.
Saffron we don't use, and there's curcum.
Cardamom.
Curcum something, and.
I'm trying to think of that one.
It's curcum in Morocco. We curcum. In Morocco, we named curcum and
Go ahead, keep going. I'm gonna go.
It's and there is 7-1 is the
Kokum.
Kokum.
Kokum. Yeah, is it this one?
It's yellow. The color is yellow.
Okay. Anyway,
and there is the
not turmeric.
That's what I'm thinking. Turmeric.
Almost like turmeric.
It's almost like turmeric.
Like turmeric.
Okay.
Mm, okay. Oh, yeah. So it says here, turmeric is a common spice that comes from the root of curcuma.
Curcuma.
Okay.
So it's the root.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's this. It's similar to turmeric. Yeah. Okay.
And cinnamon.
And cinnamon.
Yeah.
Amazing. Times. And what other spices would be like that you identify are really important in Moroccan dishes, or is that the main ones, or is there spices that you would kind of always use with specific dishes?
Yeah, we use with specific dishes. Every, like for the pastilla without cinnamon is not pastilla.
Okay.
I see. Okay.
Pastilla without cinnamon is not pastilla. Mm-hmm. Cinnamon is the main thing in the pastilla.
Yeah.
And cinnamon, every sweet dishes, we put cinnamon in Morocco.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just now we talk about cinnamon, like in lamb with prawns, with barcock, cinnamon must be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Flavor of cinnamon with sweet is the main thing. Cinnamon, we don't pour it with the beef. Never.
Okay. Never? Yeah.
Never. Okay.
Just cumin.
Yeah.
We never put the cumin in harira.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's every dishes has special, like saffron. We don't put saffron in harira.
Okay.
Okay.
But we put it in other tagines.
So there's rules for certain dishes.
Yeah, there is rules. Yeah. There is rules. Every dish is like if you put cinnamon, it's gonna be, we know, like the taste is gonna be different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Like if there is garlic in any dish, where if we find garlic, we need to put the pepper.
Okay.
Pepper with garlic all time.
Black pepper or
any pepper?
Any pepper.
Yeah.
Just
any
to balance. Pepper,
just.
And also, what is harissa? Can you explain to us, like, sort of, you know, what is harissa?
Yeah.
Is harissa, it's when we talk about harissa, it's spices things.
Mm.
Harissa is spices. How to make harissa? We mix harissa. We like, it's like lemon confit. We leave it like 1 month.
To ferment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We leave harissa in special vinegar.
Okay.
And water and salt. When it's soft, that we start to blend it.
And like, is this to make the paste?
And it's a red pepper paste.
A red pepper.
Okay. Well,
there is green one, but the people don't like the all time. The red color is
okay. It's red chilies though.
Red
chili peppers.
It's blander, and the taste is. It's lovely taste. The people love it. It's spices, but the people love it because it's comfy and we put
and
few lemon
fermented.
Comfy and yeah, exactly.
Is that an important part of Moroccan cuisine? The fermentation of things or the confy of things, is that a common style of doing things?
Yes, yeah. To make confy, yeah.
Because lemon confy,
yeah. There is carrot confy.
Oh, didn't,
yeah.
Okay.
We have lamb tagine of lamb with carrot confy.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh,
it's lovely as well.
Carrot confit. I'd confit. Like to try that. Yeah. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, there is the confit tank. We I thank my grandma, my mom, because we don't have fridge before.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Try to make everything confit, like to leave it. If we have reserve lemon, it's gonna stay for 6 months.
Yeah,
reserve carrot is gonna stay for. That's why, and when we cook, because like, it's not like now before. We have carrot in few months in the year.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have in full year.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
In Morocco, we have everything comfy.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting how different cultures, you know, use these techniques to preserve. Ireland, it's a tradition that we would have done but has been lost through generations. But now more and more people are back doing it again.
Exact.
Yeah, yeah. But it is, there's a common, you know, preservation technique. But I love how in Moroccan cuisine it's brought in with lemons and, as you said, carrots.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
The carrot confit. We have few fish confit in Morocco. But now everything is gone, like what you see now in Ireland.
Yeah.
The people start to use the fridge. People.
Kind of convenience food.
Yeah.
Do you think that is there in Moroccan homes now? Do people still cook the way your grandma used to teach you?
In small villages, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But in the cities, everything starts to change.
Okay.
That's
And is there such a thing as modern Moroccan cuisine?
There is.
Yeah.
We have new restaurants now in Morocco, everywhere in the world. There is new dishes like the chicken pastilla in easy way. We try to make it easy. That's for me. If we keep it traditional, it's good. But like now, it's easy to make it. Bam, bam,
so they're doing it in a quicker version. Yeah,
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I hope everything back to the...
Yeah.
Because we keep the taste. Yeah. Changed. The taste is changed. That's the important thing.
I hope.
But also Morocco is on the forefront of really interesting, like sort of cool modern restaurants.
Yeah.
I mean, is that true? Like, you know, you have these really interesting chefs coming out of Morocco right now.
Oh, like Blanca was speaking out with the female chefs as well. A lot of female chefs.
We have there is Chef Moha. Mm-hmm. Chef Moha is one of the best chefs in Morocco. There is Chef Lahouari. He's died this year. He's one of the best chefs in Morocco.
Yeah.
We have one chef in Casablanca. Chef is, I forget the name. She's working in Hilton Casablanca.
Wow. Yeah.
The people come special for the food of the... Because she kept the traditional...
Okay, so she keeps the traditional. Okay.
When I talk about Chef Moha, Chef Lahouari, all those chefs try to keep the, and Moha now, everybody knows Moha in Morocco.
Okay.
If you talk about Chef Moha, because he keep the traditional way.
Oh.
Exactly.
I feel like we have to talk about tea as well.
Yes, we have to. Yes.
We're big fans of tea. Blanca, who couldn't be with us for this interview, but she's a massive fan of
tea. She's a tea obsessed.
She's a tea, is it a tea champion? What's it called? She's doing that at Tea Academy.
Oh, she is at the Tea Academy.
She's actually, doing an education in tea.
Oh, we talk about traditional and traditional things. Yeah, good. But the tea now, in restaurants and everything, we make tea very fast.
Very fast.
But Moroccan tea, in Morocco, we don't have black tea. We have green tea.
Green tea.
Tea with herbs.
Mm-hmm.
Mix herbs or mint.
Okay.
Yeah, that's... But traditional one is the mint.
Mint.
Yeah. Okay. And it's cooked in lot of ways. Traditional way, it's we cook the water, warm water, we put teapot, tea, hot water, and... We bring it to cook again.
Okay.
For five minutes.
Twice, isn't it?
After we bring it, we put the mint inside.
So you're cooking the tea with the water.
Yeah. And we leave it for 2-3 minutes for the mint give the flavor.
Yeah.
We put sugar and we leave it again for 2 minutes. After we pour it in the glass and we bring it back to the pot.
Okay.
It's traditional. After we put it again, and we need to see the, you know, the white.
A foam.
If there is no in glass, the people see it's not real Moroccan tea.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
And also, just the I want to say the cups and the pots that are affiliated with Moroccan tea service are some of the most beautiful that I have ever seen. In the world.
And it's glasses, isn't it? The glasses.
It's special glasses. Yeah. It's small glasses with nice Moroccan brewery. The teapot is same as well. Everything.
I really enjoy tea in glass. You know, when people talk a lot about different teas, and we just did an event for Chinese Lunar New Year, and we're talking about having tea in China. Not in China, but in China, is in the porcelain
cup.
But I actually love it in glass.
In
it's
Morocco,
so nice.
I'm from Morocco, I can't drink tea in porcelain. Never.
No.
In glass.
Do you think it tastes different?
No, I don't know, because we need to see the color.
Yes.
We need to see the color of
I agree with you. It's something visual about the glass, definitely.
To see the color. In Morocco, never. Porcelain, never.
So you don't believe in getting your takeaway tea in a paper cup?
No,
then either?
No. To keep traditional, we need to drink it in the...
And
I guess finally, I think I can talk to you for another hour.
Yes, definitely.
But finally, I just, again, because you've traveled around so much, where do you love to shop and eat in Ireland? And then just the second question would be, where is your favorite place in the world to eat and to shop?
For shopping, shop in Ireland. You know where is Marrakesh? It's in Capri Street. And besides, there is the market of the veg.
Yeah.
Oh, the vegetable market. Yeah.
I go there to buy the veg.
Is that in the Smithfield down around there?
Exactly. Yeah. For the spices, we bring spices from Morocco.
You do, okay. Yeah.
We bring because we can't find their Ras El Hanout.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I forget about Ras El Hanout. Ras El Hanout, we don't mix 7 spices together. Like we have like if for 1 kg we put like a special grams of cinnamon, special grams of
so it's measured particularly.
To give you the balanced flavor. Yeah. Not cinnamon is strong than that. That's why I go to Morocco to buy spices.
Yeah. And if anyone, like again, like ourselves or anything, wanted to go shopping for Moroccan ingredients here in Ireland, is there anywhere that you've seen that do even not as good as you would get for the restaurant, but kind of good versions that they could?
There is a few halal shops.
Yes, that's, yeah.
There is a few halal shops to that. But we find a lot of Indian and the Pakistani.
Oh, okay.
The easy way, sometimes we go to Belgium. Because in Belgium, we find everything from Morocco.
Mm.
That's shop in Europe, we make it in Belgium.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. And where's your favorite place to eat and shop in the world?
In the world, I love France.
You do?
Yeah. why? Because I think there is a big relation between France and Morocco.
Yes.
Like our second language in Morocco is French.
Yes.
And if you go to France, you find every Moroccan one has family in France.
That's, yeah. So would there be, would you find French cuisine in Morocco as well because of that?
There is some restaurants.
Yeah.
There is some restaurants. Like now in Morocco, we find a lot of cuisine. We find Indian, we find Chinese, we find Thailandese, we find
Irish.
Irish, there is one pub in Agadir.
Is there?
Irish pub, wow. Yes.
Of course, there's an Irish pub everywhere.
There is Irish pub in Agadir.
And what's your favorite French? Oh, you said beef bourguignon is your favorite French dish.
Yeah.
Did you love working and living in France?
Before when I was living in New York, it's New York, it's big city.
Yeah.
And I moved to France. It's big cities as well.
Yeah.
I'm tired of that. I moved to Ireland and I come to Kilkenny.
Kilkenny, yeah.
For 3 years in Kilkenny and I were working in Ormond Kilkenny Hotel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was the head chef in Ormond Kilkenny Hotel.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
You belong.
because I'm tired of big cities, I feel...
Yeah.
Like I am happy. That's why... I stay in Ireland for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. That's nice to hear.
Yeah.
And do you feel, feel that Ireland is your home now? Dublin is your home?
No, it's 18 years in Ireland.
18
it's
years.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Do you have any places you love to eat in Dublin that you go to other than your usual places? Or if you were going to eat out, are there any restaurants you like to go to? Do you follow the restaurant scene here?
I go all the time. I try to find something different.
Yeah.
That's my problem. Even if I like this place, I try to find, to taste
different
food
things.
Different. That's, I ate everywhere.
Yeah, there's so much choice in Dublin now as
there
well.
There is so much. But all the time, I try to eat Irish food. Like I love the Irish soup. Beef stew is lovely. It's kind of Moroccan because there is mix of veg meat in the sauce. I love the taste.
Yeah.
And you feel like the different taste in it. Like there is herbs, there is veg, there is everything.
Yeah.
It's lovely, strong. I like that.
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. And I forgot to ask you when you were speaking about living here as well? Like, there's not many Moroccan people in Ireland as a population, is there? There's only a few thousand, I think.
I think it's 2,000.
2,000-ish?
Yeah. Like, if we talk about Indian, there is lots of Indian and there is lots of restaurants. If we talk about China, there is lots of restaurants. But in Morocco, we have just 3 restaurants at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That means there is less.
That's yourselves and
there is,
Dada?
Dada and Bahia and Marrakesh.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, Bahia.
That's like if we talk about Indian, every street there is one Indian. China, same, but Moroccan, just 3. That means the population is there.
And are you... is the community, would you be connected as a community here, the Moroccan community?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's connected. We do few parties. Like now in Marrakesh, we do few Moroccan parties sometimes.
Oh,
nice.
Yes.
And the people come, Moroccan people come to the...
Can country. Irish people come? Can we come?
Of course.
Can Chinese Americans come?
Yes, no, it's open to everybody.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Have you traveled much around Ireland?
Everywhere.
You have?
Everywhere.
Do you have a favorite part, other than Dublin, obviously?
last week I was in Waterford.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love Waterford. I go to Waterford too much.
Yeah, I've been down there. It's really nice.
Yeah,
been trying to get May to come with me.
I was just going
to
say, Dee loves Waterford.
No, Waterford is... I love Waterford.
It's really multicultural and there's so much different foods.
Exactly.
I was surprised, how many different places you can go to, beautiful restaurants. And
Even in small cities in Ireland, we find different restaurants, different food, different... That's very good now because the culture, it's mixed now. You can taste any food you want. That's very good now for us. Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, thank you, Chef, so much for coming. And we encourage everyone to go to Marrakesh by Mindo.
Yes.
And we'll probably see, hopefully, some of you listeners there.
Yeah, and absolutely. And anything we spoke about today, the photographs and the links to places or things like that, we're going to put as much as possible into our show notes so you can check that out. And also on our social media, we're at SpiceBagsPod on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. And please do leave comments if you wanted to ask Aziz something. We can pass on questions, or if there was something we didn't cover or you wanted to say, please leave us comments and we will get back to you on those. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Aziz.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you.
Bye. If you like what you heard, or better yet, have a question or response or comment to anything that we said today, we really want to hear from you. So please contact us at Instagram at SpiceBagsPod, Twitter as well is the same, SpiceBagsPod, or you can email us at SpiceBagsPod@gmail.com.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.